So the last few weeks we've been looking at the kingdom culture, or a different kingdom. We've been saying, look, we're born in this world, and then we come to know Jesus, and the Bible tells us that we get born again in the Spirit. We don't get born again in the flesh, but we get born again in the Spirit. And so the big thing that needs to catch up is our minds, because we've been born again, and now we've got all these extra things available to us, or maybe not extra, but we've got a whole new way to live. And then over time, God wants to transform us so that we start to believe for things. Imagine when we get saved, then suddenly we get a family. We get a family in church. We get a family outside of church. We get a family of Christians all around the world. Suddenly when we get saved and we know Jesus, our lives are never the same. He gives us purpose. He gives us opportunity. He gives us all these things in front of us. Suddenly when we get saved, our sins get taken away from us. Our sins get removed and we get made brand new and we get covered in the precious blood of Jesus. But also what God does is that he wants to radically change our minds, because otherwise we end up living the old ways. So we get saved and we've all this opportunity and we've all this purpose and we know God's for us, but we still keep thinking the old ways, that kind of stinking thinking. We keep thinking like, oh, I'll never do this, I can never do that. And we keep reminding ourselves of past regrets and past shames. And even though we know that God has set a marker down, he's made all things delete. He's made all the old things disappear. And now we've got the new stuff. We sometimes keep thinking about the old stuff, and it keeps determining our present, and it keeps affecting our future. And so this last couple of weeks, we've been saying, look, we have to step into a kingdom culture. Because if we serve a king, then there's a new kingdom. If we serve a king called King Jesus, then we have a new culture and a new world that we can step into and a new way that we can live. Bible talks about being set apart, saying that sometimes the old things that used to fascinate us, the old things that we used to do, even the friends that we had, even the places that we went to, suddenly those desires start to change. And before you know it, we start to live a different way. And we have different desires and fresh desires and new desires, ones that we never had before. Maybe ones to worship. I just want to worship God. That would have been one that you never had before. Maybe one, I just want to pray. I just really want to seek God. That was one that you would have never had before. You know what? I just really want to show forgiveness and kindness to people. That could have been one that you had before, but with God's strength and with the forgiveness of Jesus on our lives, suddenly that takes on a whole new reality. And so this morning, this is what we've been talking about this last couple of weeks, stepping into this new kingdom, recognizing who we are in this new kingdom, and actually living it out and going for it. And so this morning, what I want to talk about is getting to the heart of the kingdom. We've seen all the way through just the signs, the wonders, the miracles. We've seen multitudes healed. We look in Matthew 14 about feeding the 5,000. These 5,000 men come along, Jesus teaching them, and then at the end of the day, they're tired and they're hungry, and Jesus turns around to the disciples and says, you feed them. And they're like, what? What are we going to do with them? There's no McDonald's, and even if there was, we couldn't afford it. We don't know what to do with these guys. And Jesus says, no, you haven't cracked it yet. You haven't figured it out yet. If you just bring me the little that you do have, I'll be able to multiply it, because I'm a God of provision. And so God, that miracle wasn't just about feeding people. It was Jesus trying to change the disciples' mindset to say, with me, you can do different things. With me, you can do impossible things. Before me, this crowd would have to go home. There's just no way to feed them. It's not possible. There's just no way to do it. But with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, with me, I can do that. I can multiply that. I can do incredible things. Why? Because I'm in a new kingdom, and the kingdom of heaven becomes available to me if I'm a co-heir in Christ, if I know Jesus. And so this morning, we have new access. We have new privilege. It'd be like going to a new building at work or something, or going to a new job, and they give you the card, or they give you the key to the building. Suddenly you have new access. You have a new building that you're able to go into. You have a new resource store. You have a new place that you're able to get access to. And this is what we have in God when we're saved, as we step into the new kingdom. But we've got to step into it. We've got to step into it. And so we saw this last couple of weeks. We saw multitudes healed. We saw feeding the 5,000. We saw feeding the 4,000. We started to see that Jesus was trying to teach the disciples that a new normal was supernatural. That a new normal was supernatural. So every day they would go out and they would believe for God to do incredible things. And they'd be like, wow, this is just what he does. It's not a Monday morning we get up and like, oh, I wish it was Friday. I wish it was Sunday. I don't know what you wish, but this was like, we get up every day and we're like excited. I wonder what God is going to do today. And this is what God wants to put into each and every one of our hearts. I wonder what God is going to do through me today. And that's what he's trying to get. And all through these different stories and all through these different accounts, Jesus is trying to get their hearts, but he's ultimately trying to change their minds so that they would think differently, act differently. Because whenever he goes in 2 short years, they're going to continue on with the mission. because their mindset has changed and they have stepped into a new kingdom culture. And this is what we're trying to do over this last few weeks, and this is what we're trying to do in our hearts. We're trying to remind ourselves, God, you have called me to step into a new kingdom culture. And then by the end of it, Matthew chapter 16 is what we're going to look at this morning. Jesus wants to bring them full circle. He wants to say, look, don't miss this thing. Don't miss what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to change your thinking. I've been trying to show you that miracles are possible. I've been trying to show you that you can live in a new kingdom. But I want to show you the heart of the kingdom. And the heart of the kingdom is me. It's Jesus. Because outside of Christ, we can do nothing. But in Christ, we can do all things. Jesus didn't want the people to get caught up and think that he was just a person that performed a few miracles, or if you come to a new kingdom, you'll be able to do a few things on the outside. He wanted to show them that the heart of the kingdom is Jesus, because a real relationship with Jesus is going to be the source and going to be the strength to our walks with God in this new kingdom. So we're going to read it together. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" Now, I want to assure you, Jesus wasn't having an identity crisis. You know, sometimes you wake up and go, who am I? I don't know what I'm about. I don't even know what I'm made for. I don't know what I'm supposed to do in this world. I mean, there are real questions that sometimes we ask ourselves. Jesus was not having an identity crisis, trust me. Otherwise, that kind of just changes the whole thing. We're like, oh no, even Jesus didn't know who he was. No, he knew exactly who he was, but he's trying to ask them. He wants to know who they say. He wants to make sure that they know who he is, because he knows who he is, but if they don't know, it'll change everything. He's got to keep reminding them, this is what the kingdom does. This is how you act in the kingdom. But you've got to know who I am, because I am the heart of the kingdom. So, number one, Jesus did not have an identity crisis. He just wants to know their hearts. They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. In other words, it became very clear quickly that lots of people had lots of different opinions. Have you ever done meetings before and you ask people's opinions? You're going to get lots of different opinions. It's just the way it works. You're going to get one person says this, another person says that, and we're like, which one do we go with? Which one do we go with? And then it goes on further in the story, and we get to the heart of it when it goes deeper. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? In other words, Jesus wants to turn around to the disciples. He said, hey, I know what everybody else thinks, but you who have walked closely with me, you who have seen the signs, the wonders, and the miracles, you who I've tried to change your mindset with, you who I've shown the kingdom to, who do you say that I am? Because I need you to get it, because if you can get it, then you can give it to everybody else. And then they can give it to everybody else. And this is the heart of Jesus. It's the heart of God. It's that we would get saved, we would know who we are in Christ, and we would give it away. We say, hey, do you know who you are? Do you know who you are in Christ? Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what he has done for you. And then they step into their new identity in Christ and continue and continue and continue. The kingdom is always to be extended. Says Simon Peter answered. I mean, could it be anybody but Peter? We've looked this last few weeks. Peter is the guy who's going to put his feet first. He's going to go for it. Whether he gets it right or wrong, he's just going to go for it. Now, thankfully, this day he got it right. Anybody here this morning just likes to go for it? I would encourage you to go for it. It's a good thing. And if you get it wrong, God's going to save you. He'll protect you. When Peter started to sing, Jesus saved him. He rescued him. But I like Peter because he went for things. He went for it. Something was changing in him. Something was different inside of him. Simon Peter answers and says, you are Messiah, Son of the living God. Wow. Peter knows who this man is. Peter knows. Now think about this. You are Messiah. The Jews have been waiting for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years for their Messiah to come. They just can't see it. And even when he came, they couldn't find him. They didn't know who he was. In fact, they were the ones that put him on the cross. It was the Jews. And yet, Jesus here, and he spends a short time with these guys, and Peter turns around and says, you're the Messiah. You're it. I'm convinced of it. I've seen your works. I've seen your heart. I've seen what the Father has said. I know you inside and out. You are the Messiah. What a statement for Peter to say. What a statement. But he says, you are the Messiah, and you are the Son of the living God. So not only are you the sent one, not only are you the one, not only are you the key to breakthrough in this life for us, not only are you the one that's going to defeat sin and death, but you are the Son of the living God. In fact, you're God. What a revelation. And then it reveals to us, the word tells us how it was revealed. Jesus comes back and said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for it was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And this morning, this is the key to the kingdom. This is the key. That we're no longer just led by the things of this world, but suddenly we know the Father's voice. We hear his voice. We know his voice. And the more that starts to dominate our thinking, the more we will step into the kingdom culture that God has for us. Whenever bad news comes, it's not going to be like, oh my goodness, there's just no hope. It's going to be, I think I read something. I think I remember hearing a story. I think I remember hearing a testimony. I think God is for me. I think God could do something. Because our minds have started to change. Our thinking has started to change. And this is why it's so important. It may feel like today that it's not a big issue for you or it's not a big deal. But when troubles come, when difficult seasons come, it's going to be what's in there that's going to come out. You can't put it in at that stage. It's too late. Whatever's in your heart, whatever's in your mind, it will naturally come out when you get squeezed. And I want it to be when you get squeezed that your kingdom culture is going to come out. Be like, doesn't matter, God's for me. Doesn't matter if the end looks like it's here. Doesn't matter, God's for me. Doesn't matter the report. Doesn't matter the news. I know that my God can change things. I know that my God can raise people from the dead. I know that my God can do anything. And this is what the Lord wants to transform our hearts with, exactly what he wanted to transform their hearts with. Verse 18, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it, or another name for Hades is hell. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Wow. Jesus sees Peter and he calls him into future destiny. He calls him as if it were today. He says, then Peter, I see so much on you, and it's incredible. God starts to speak into his future. He starts to speak into his life, and Peter is never the same again. And so this morning, I want us to take a few minutes and we're going to look at these verses. We're going to break them down for a minute. We're going to look at two or three points, and I'm believing that God's going to touch your hearts and he's going to radically get us. So come on, guys, we're going to press in to the Lord this morning. First point is this. Once we recognize who he is, he truly reveals who we are. This is what happens in the middle of the story. Once we recognize who Jesus is, he truly reveals who we are. Because as Peter saw Jesus, then Jesus saw Peter in a way that Peter never saw himself. And we've got to know that this morning. There are many ways that we see ourselves. We maybe don't think that highly about ourselves. We maybe don't think that great about ourselves. We maybe a bit hard on ourselves. Maybe get a bit down on ourselves because you're like, you don't know me the way I know me. It's like, it's the way we talk. It's the way we see ourselves. Now, Peter was a mess. Peter had sunk. Peter stepped on water, but he failed. Jesus had to rescue him. He was a silly guy. He spoke when he shouldn't. He was feet first. He was this, he was that. And yet at that day, because of how the Lord had transformed his mind, because of his recognition of Jesus, suddenly, wow, Jesus spoke into his life and Peter was never the same again. And I believe this morning God wants to speak into our lives. No matter what we know about ourselves, God wants to speak a different word, a better word, a word that you never thought before, a word that you could never even imagine before. And out of this, suddenly, wow, you're going to be like Peter, a person that God's going to build his church on. A person that God's going to extend the kingdom through. This is what God wants to do with each and every one of our lives because we're precious to him and because we're important to him. And so this is the journey we're going to go on for just a few moments this morning. Ever been judged by someone or told this or that? Ever felt judged? I'm not even going to ask for hands because I know everybody's been judged at some point. Ever felt it? You know what the thing about being judged is, or when somebody makes their mind up about you, is that if it fits in with what you think, hopefully it's a good thing, then it's okay. But if it's not what you think, then you feel like, that's not nice. It's like, I'm not like that. I'm not like this. You know, it's like, I don't know, whatever they say. You know, maybe a teacher says this, or a person in charge says this, or a leader says this, or somebody says it who doesn't really like you, and they're going to tell you who you are, but they're not really going to tell you who you are. They're just going to put you down. And that feeling is not nice. It gets us in the heart. It gets us deep in our heart, and then we're like, wow, maybe that is who I am. And we start to believe things, and we start to wonder, is that right? And suddenly there's all this commotion going on in our minds. I don't know how Peter felt about himself, but I'm pretty sure that he knew it was a bit of a mess up. I'm pretty sure that he knew that the words that Jesus were saying didn't seem to be quite true, but he was like, but I know it's Jesus. I know this is the Messiah. I know this is the Son of the living God. His words got to count for something. I know he wouldn't lie. And this morning, I want to encourage you as the Lord would speak to you this morning. I believe he's already speaking and he will continue to speak this morning. But as he speaks to your heart and he reveals some of your destiny and your purpose and the plans he's got for you, do not reject them outright. Just say, Lord, I'm struggling to believe that. I've got doubts on that, but okay, Lord, I know you wouldn't lie to me. I know you wouldn't tell me something just to tease me. If you said, okay, I'll, in faith, I'll try to receive it. And so even from the outset, allow the Lord to do that. Allow the Lord to speak to your heart. And whatever he starts to reveal, you go, okay, Lord, reveal that to me. Show that. Verse 15, who do you say? Simon Peter said, you're a Messiah, Son of the living God. Instant reply from Jesus, verse 17, he says, you're blessed. In other words, you get it. You get it, Peter. You spend time with me, and you get who I am. And so you get the kingdom culture. You're starting to get what this kingdom is all about. And the Lord is saying this morning, I want us to get it. The goal of being a new Christian, the goal of being a Christian following after Christ is to get it, to realize that miracles are possible, to realize that we can stand up against the enemy, to realize that we can pray into governmental things, that we can pray into environmental things, that we can pray into health and sickness. We can pray into anything in Jesus' name, and we can see things done, but not because of the authority that we have in ourselves personally, but because of the authority that God has put upon us. And so this morning, God's saying, I want you to get it. I want you to recognize who I am, because when you do, you'll recognize who you are. And that's good news. Peter gets the kingdom and he understands it now. He recognizes that because of his recognition of the kingdom, suddenly the kingdom gets extended into his life and into his heart. And I want to assure you this morning, when we recognize who we are in the Master's hand, when we recognize who we are in Jesus, then suddenly that kingdom starts to flood into our lives. And before you know it, our thinking is changing. Before you know it, the words that we're saying are changing. Before you know it, the places that we're going to are changing. When we start to get it that we are built for a new kingdom, when we start to walk into that new kingdom, warts and all, faults and all, mess and all, Jesus starts to change us, and he starts to radically call out the things that are inside of us. Suddenly, what happens is this. You become an instrument in the Master's hand, and all he needs is a willing heart. That's all he needs. Whenever we give ourselves and just say, okay, God, there's a new kingdom here. I'm not sure how it works. I'm not sure what to do. He actually says, that's okay. My plan for you is death. If you would take up your cross every day and follow after me, that's the right way to go. Just go for death. Because as you would die, God's going to revive you. He's going to lift you up. And suddenly all your dreams change, all your ambitions change, all the ways you think, all the way you act, all the way you talk, all the way you think. Everything starts to change, and you start to affect the world around you. And all God is looking for is just willingness of heart. That's it. We just become instruments in his hand, and suddenly he starts to do it. Peter allowed, this is the key to it, Peter allowed a new culture to wash his mind. He realized that walking on water was suddenly possible when you trust in Jesus. He realized that feeding 5,000 is no big deal when you're trusting in Jesus. That's something that just happens. He realizes more and more in his mindset that the impossible is now possible in Jesus. He realizes that miracles are just something that happens every day. There's something that's possible that can happen every day, in every place, everywhere, because Jesus doesn't run out, because the Holy Spirit doesn't run out, because the Holy Spirit's not limited, because God can do whatever he needs to do. And he starts to get it. There's a new kingdom. It's washing his mind. It's transforming him. He's starting to think different. He's starting to see different. And the Lord says this morning, I want to help you to see that as well. But the important thing about Peter's faith was that he was all in. Verse 17, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. My Father in heaven reveals this stuff. And church, this morning, the more that we commit to spending time with God, the more that we commit just to be in his presence, just to rest with him, the more he will transform us, the more he will change our minds, and the more we'll start to, wow, I used to never say that. You ever think that? I used to never pray like that. I would never believe like that. You know, sometimes that's what we do. We got to do that. We got to remind ourselves, wow, I used to never pray like that. I used to never think like that. I used to never talk like that. But that's the kingdom of God extended and changing my thinking. That's the kingdom of God working through me as I spend time with the Father. And as Peter spent time with Jesus, and because Jesus spent time with the Father, wow, suddenly the kingdom starts to flood into his life. And this morning, church, God is saying, if you would draw close to me, I'm going to radically transform your thinking. I'm going to radically transform the way you live. Only God can reveal the true you. Only God. Here's what I was thinking about this week, just to try and bring it through to a point that it helps us all to understand. Isn't it amazing how we let so many other things define us? Isn't it amazing how we let so many other things make judgment on us? You know, like the mirror. We love the mirror, but we think the mirror tells the whole truth. The mirror does not tell the whole truth. It tells one part of you, but it doesn't know inside of you at all. But isn't it amazing how we can have fights with the mirror, that we can fall out with the mirror, we can fall in love with the mirror. I don't know where you find yourself this morning, but the mirror can either be your best friend or your worst enemy, and maybe it can change every day. But the mirror tries to reflect who we are. And sometimes if we're not careful, we start to think, well, yeah, the mirror tells the truth. This is who I am. Or maybe we take it a step up. We go 21st century. Let's go social media. Selfies tell who I truly am. You know, when I take a selfie, that's who I really am. You know, there's an amazing about a selfie. You could have the worst day. You could be looking the worst all day, everything. But then at the end of the day, you just think to yourself, I'm going to have a shower. I'm going to get ready. I'm going to do my hair. I'm going to take a selfie. And everybody's going to think I've had the best day ever. You know, I'm going to write some cool words with it. Hashtag this and hashtag that. And people's like, oh my goodness, that person's amazing. I'm the world's worst. It's amazing what way we can portray ourselves. It's amazing what way we can think about ourselves. It's amazing that we want to do things like that to try and either pick ourselves up or to get a few likes or to get this or to get that. And yet God says this morning, a selfie and a mirror can only reflect you in certain parts. They can only capture certain parts of you. But here's the real truth. You are so amazing. The only way for you to be truly revealed is by the Maker himself. You are that amazing that the only real way for you to be truly revealed and for you to be truly known is for God to tell you the truth. That's the only way. No mirror can do it. Imagine, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. It says that we were made by Jesus, by God himself. We were made by God, Psalm 139. So how could a mirror ever reflect, well, not me, but this masterpiece? How could a mirror ever reflect that masterpiece? How could a mirror ever do us justice? It can give us a certain angle, but it can't tell us the whole truth. How good a selfie? I mean, we can put all the filters on. Anybody like the filters? The filters can make you look even better. Trust me. They can make you look even better again. But the filters can do things that a gym can't do. The filters are amazing. They're even less hassle than a gym. But filters are incredible. But you know what? They can never truly grasp who you truly are. And you see, the biggest lie that we're being sold day after day after day is you are who somebody tells you. You are what the mirror tells you. You are what a selfie tells you. You are so much more than that. In fact, the only way for you to truly know who you are and the only way for you to be truly revealed in who you are is to know Christ, because the Maker of the universe is the only one that fully knows you, because you're so wonderfully made. You are that incredibly made. You are that incredibly made all the way through. And so I want to encourage you. Maybe you've got like some kind of real horrible thinking about yourself, all sorts of horrible lies that people have spoken over you, and you start to believe them as if this is who I am. This is not who you are. You know what we should do? Go and ask the same question Jesus asked the disciples. Ask it back to him. Who do you think I am, Lord? Who do you say I am? Who do you say that I am? This is a question that all of us need to ask, and probably over and over and over again, because every day the world's screaming at us who we are and who we need to be and who we should be. And don't be like that, be like this. Because if you're like this, then you're going to fit in. But actually, God says you're unique, you're designed to stand out. This is who you are. And so maybe day after day, what we should really be asking is, Jesus, who do you say I am? I need to know the truth. Who do you say I am? I need you to reveal me. And so this morning, think about this. Whenever we truly know Jesus, then we'll truly get to know ourselves, because he's able to reveal things that nobody else can reveal. Second quick point this morning is that when Jesus called Peter and when Jesus revealed himself to the disciples, what did he do? He said this, I want to recognize you, I want to call you, I want to equip you. And in Acts chapter 2, what Jesus does to Peter is that he supercharges him. And that's what the Lord wants to do to us this morning. And there's three quick things in the middle of that verse, and it says this, you are a rock. Imagine this. This is what God has sent us this morning. Now start to think. Don't start to look in the mirror. Stop thinking what the selfie tells you. Start to remind yourself what God says. You are a rock. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense, because you're not a rock. Of course you're not. You mess up all the time. You're not secure. You're not reliable. You always mess up. But when God speaks this into us, suddenly he changes us. And this is a kingdom culture, and this is a kingdom mindset that God wants to put in our hearts. He calls things that are not yet as if they were. Think about that. He calls things that are not yet as if they were. This is what he does in our lives. He looks at your heart. He looks at your life, and he says, this is who you are. You're not that yet. But God speaks that into you because he's calling out your destiny. He's calling you out as if you were. You're not yet, but you will be in Christ as you submit your life to him, because God knows the end from the beginning. God knows the plans and purposes for your life. God is faithful to bring them through. You are a rock. This is what God said to Peter. This is what Jesus said. This is what he sent to you. Remember, the kingdom of God calls you into being. It calls you. It speaks first. And sometimes reality's got to catch up later. You are somebody because you were made by God himself. And so this morning, you're a rock. Number two, you are called to greatness. You are called to greatness. This is what it says. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell will not overcome it. You're a rock, Peter. You're safe and secure. You're dependable. Peter knew that he wasn't, but this is who God was calling him to be. Peter, you're more than you think. Peter, you're more than you know. In fact, I'm going to call you to purpose. In fact, I'm going to put purpose in front of you, and I'm going to say you're more than you think you are. And this is what God wants to say to us this morning. You think that this is all you can do. You think that given all your talents, given all your abilities, given your track record, this is how you're going to end up. When the kingdom of God invades our lives, he turns messes into messages. He turns messes that are no good and can't do anything into people that will change the kingdom of God. Peter was a mess. Paul, remember Paul? Before he was Paul, he was Saul. He was a mess. He was a murderer. He was a terrible person. And then God invaded his heart. The kingdom changed his life. And suddenly he became an incredible guy for God. And he reads half the books and writes half the books in the New Testament. See, God this morning is trying to change our thinking. God this morning is trying to change who we are this morning. He's trying to invade our lives. He's trying to invade our minds with a new kingdom and with a new culture. You are incredible. He has set purpose in front of you. He has set destiny in front of you. It's time to realize you can be more. You can be more in God. He says this, I will build my church through you. In other words, the kingdom of God is going to be extended through Peter. And the kingdom of God wants to be extended through us this morning as well. In other words, God wants to use us to bring forgiveness. He wants to use us to bring healing. He wants to use us to bring destiny to people's lives. He wants to use you to bring encouraging words to people. He wants to use you to bring the gospel of the kingdom to people around you to see them saved. Even hell can't stand against you. In other words, you're an overcomer. The very powers of darkness, hell itself, that thing that's going to take everyone unless they're saved and know Jesus, even that can't stand against you, Peter. This is what Jesus is saying. Now, this stuff is not true in that moment. It can't be because Peter is not this. But Jesus speaks greater truth. And this is what we've got to know this morning. Jesus speaks greater truth than the truth of this world. And he calls Peter as if he were, but he's not yet. He speaks the kingdom mindset unto him. He speaks a kingdom culture. And he speaks greater truth than Peter had ever heard before. You are my rock, Peter. Nothing will stand against you, Peter. I'm going to build my church upon you, Peter. And this is what the Lord says to us. You're my rocks this morning. You're my security. I'm going to make you secure. I'm going to make you reliable. I'm going to work through you. I'm going to work through your frailties and your messes. I'm going to work through you. I'm going to extend my church through you. I'm going to build my church through you. Even the powers of darkness won't stand against you. Even the powers of darkness won't overcome you. Is that not good news this morning, church, as we remind ourselves of who we are in Christ? See, sometimes it's a wrestling match. You ever done some wrestling? Years ago, me and Mom used to wrestle. I used to beat her up. It was what we did. We used to wrestle. You know what the point of wrestling is? You want to win. But sometimes you got to go through that pain to get to the other side. And this is what we got to do. We're wrestling this morning. Maybe there's a wrestle going on in your mind. Like, oh, I love what you're saying, but this is not me. Or, oh, I've been here before. I'm not going around in circles. I'm not going to do that again. Maybe you got to wrestle a few things out to get to the other side. Maybe not wrestle with your mom, but wrestle with God. Maybe you just got to wrestle this thing out until you get the 1, 2, 3. And then be like, come on, I beat this thing. I'm overcoming because I am an overcomer in Jesus Christ. Come on, can we stand together? We're going to pray. We're going to sing. As we're standing this morning, guys, and as the band are kind of getting ready, I want to share just a final thought with us. At the end of those verses, it says this, that Jesus said to Peter, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. They weren't physical keys, but they were keys to spiritual breakthrough. And this morning I want to encourage you that God has given keys in our lives. He's given us keys. He's given us keys for breakthrough. And in this story, it was keys to unlock people's hearts. It was keys to bring breakthrough in people's lives. It was keys to unlock unforgiveness in people's lives. And God has placed keys inside of us. But here's the really important thing to think about keys, is that there's two big pains with them. You either can't find them or you don't know what to do. Anybody had keys and you just can't find them? It's like you're trying to run out to the car. You're like, I can't find my keys. And then you start blaming everybody else. Where'd you put my keys? And it was just because you didn't put them in a good place. And so keys, you gotta find them. You gotta know that you've got them. And this morning God says, I want you to know you've got these things. Don't forget that you've got keys to the kingdom. And then number two, the most annoying thing about keys is if you find a lost key, then you don't know what to do with the thing. Because a key is only half the picture. You don't know what lock it fits. You don't know what door it fits. And so a key is only half the picture. And God says this morning, if you've got the keys, don't keep them in your pocket. Go and use them. If you're not sure what these keys that God has put inside of your heart, if you're not sure of the possibilities of what you can do, go and read the word. You've got to go read the Word. That's how you're going to find out. Come to the prayer meeting and allow people to speak into your life. You've got to get into the presence of God if you want to know what these keys do. Because you know how you find out what the key does? Ask the maker. The maker of the key knows what the key does. He made it. He knows what it does. If you want to know what your life is about, if you want to know the keys of the kingdom that God has put in your life, then you've got to ask the maker. I want to tell you one last story, and then we're going to pray. It's a story we shared probably a year or so ago, but I love this story. I'm going to share it again. Sad story, but it's got something that's got to touch our hearts to change us this morning. There was a man years ago, true story. He had a son, and him and the son never got on. They're always fighting cat and dog. Anybody ever fight with someone? They're fighting cat and dog. His dad and son just didn't get on. And then one day, the son comes to his dad. His dad was always working in his office, working. And the dad comes to his office and said, "Dad, you've never got any time for us. You never want to spend any time with us." The dad just, he doesn't even speak. And the son's just getting more and more frustrated. And eventually the son comes back to him a few months later, or maybe a few years later, it's like he's 20, 21. He says, "Look, Dad, I'm on my final exams. I'm going to do really well in them. But I'll tell you one thing, Dad, you never do anything for me," which was a lie, but this is what he felt. He says, "Dad, you never do anything for me. But Dad, if I do really well in my exams, if I really prove to you that I'm a good son, if I really work hard at my exams and I get the best marks that I can do possible, will you buy me this sports car?" And he puts a sports car down in front of him. Now his dad had plenty of money. It wouldn't have been a big deal to him. And the dad doesn't really say too much. And the son goes, "Come on, Dad, you do nothing for me." And he really goes for it. He says, "Come on, this is going to fix everything. This is going to change everything." And that was it. Walks out and he leaves. Comes back, whatever, a couple of months later when the exam results come out. He says, "There you go, Dad. There it is." He says, "But Dad, where's my car?" The dad turns around. He opens up his drawer and he gives him a box. The son's furious. He's furious. He goes, "I don't want a silly present, socks or whatever is inside that box." And he throws the box away. And he leaves. You know, the true story is that the son leaves his dad, he leaves. He gets married, has kids, him and his dad never speak again. Then he's like middle 50s, something like that. He's had 2-3 kids, dad's never seen the kids, and he learns that his dad is sick, dying with cancer. And he says, "I'm going to go home and meet my dad. I'm going to go and bring the kids." And they decide to drive instead of flying because he wants to bring them all. He wants to bring them all to meet his dad. He's one side of the country in America, got to drive halfway across the country to meet him. Halfway across the country, he gets word to say that his dad sadly passed away. And he's got it. But he decides to go on anyway because he wants to see his mom again. And, you know, he wants to try and make things right if he can at all. And he goes to his dad's office. And he happens just to sit down in the chair and he thinks, "You know what? I just got to let this thing go. Otherwise, it's just going to eat me up the rest of my life." And then he notices that silly box. The dad never threw it out. The dad kept it. And so he takes the box and he decides he's going to open it. Let's see what's inside the box. And guess what was inside the box? Keys. Keys. And his son's heart sank and he thought, "Wow, I had them all along." And he thought, "I wonder, is there a car? I wonder do these keys lead to a car?" And he goes out to his dad's garage, or whatever they say it in America, they say it a different way. Katie could do it for us. And he goes out to the dad's garage and he notices all these cars, but then one at the back still has the sheet on. You know when you really want to save something, you really want to protect something? It's got the sheet on. And so he goes over to the car and he pulls the sheet off and he's like, "Oh, it's the one that he wanted. It's the one from the picture." He cannot believe it. He's a total mess. He just can't believe it. And he takes the key and he puts it in the door and it opens up the door. It's his car. It's his car. Now that's a sad story. It's a sad story. But here's the truth. This is what God says to us. "I've got keys to the kingdom for you." Maybe you want all of this. I want this. I want this. I want that. But God says, "I've given you keys for breakthrough that are far more valuable than maybe all the possessions and all the wants that you have. I've got so much more for you. Don't waste those keys. Don't throw those keys away. Don't dismiss those keys because they're not the end result that you really want, or they're not this, or they're not that. These keys bring breakthrough. Because guess what? Keys open great doors and open great locks. They're able to lock things. They're able to close things. They're able to open things." And I want us to realize this morning, God has put keys of the kingdom inside of our hearts. Keys to unlock people's lives. Keys to bring the good news to people's lives. Keys to see breakthrough being broken down and being opened up in people. So this morning as we pray, this is what we're going to pray. We're going to pray that God's going to reveal to us all those keys that he has given us. And remind us to take those keys, ask him what they're for, and to go and use them for the kingdom purposes and for what God's got. Is that okay this morning? Can we do that? Just pray for a moment. Come on. Lord, I thank you this morning for all that you've given us. I thank you this morning, Lord, that there are no limits to the things that you've given us. I pray this morning, Lord, that you are invading our hearts in a real and new way. Lord, I pray this morning that you are capturing our hearts in a better way than a selfie can ever define us or a mirror can ever define us. Lord, we've got to realize that maybe we got to break those things. Maybe we just got to shatter that mirror and we've got to throw those selfies away because they do not truly reveal who we are. It's only one angle. It's only one side. There's so much more in us. And Lord, I pray this morning that Jesus spoke to Peter and he said, "You're my rock. I'm going to build my church in you. The gates of Hades or the gates of hell will not prevail against you." Lord, this morning, this is who we are. We are his rock. I'm going to advance the kingdom through you. The powers of darkness are not going to stand against you. This is who we are. But Peter was a mess. And yet God called him a rock, reliable, secure, world changer, revivalist, history maker, going to do incredible things for the kingdom of God. Lord, this morning, this is who we are. And so this morning, Lord, we ask you with one request. Who do you say, Lord, that we are? As we pray this morning, as we worship, as we sing, this week, when we ask that question, Lord, who do you say I am? Would you reveal it to us? And as you reveal it to us, give us the strength to walk into that. Because you call things as if they were, but not yet. And as we step out in faith, we start to step into those things. And it starts to change, and it starts to change, and we become the very people God has called us to become. Lord, I thank you for the destiny and the purpose in front of us. Let us know this morning, we can be more in Christ. Lord, we love you. We worship you. Just draw our hearts close, Lord. If we're